until this message found me. So then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of his mercy to me. So I should not praise the Lord. He's been so good to me. The living word made flesh again and revealed to me.
Reminded once again.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I was thinking about Sunday's message, and it was a beautiful message. My goodness, it was. I thoroughly enjoyed that message a lot. You know, I was thinking, you know, because Satan will play on your mind about thinking it's one side about the sisters, you know, being a subject to headship.
Right.
But I was thinking, you know, all of us on the subject to headship, even the men.
Oh yes.
Because how you expect to lead the home if you don't listen to the ministry here? That's the balance on it. Amen. If you just let Satan play on your mind, it's like, no. It's everybody got corrected that day. Everybody did. Amen. If you really listen, I mean, and that's the balance. I love that because it's not one-sided. God loves everybody in this place. You know what I'm saying? Everybody. He loves everybody. It wasn't just one-sided. It wasn't.
No.
I thought, like, you know what? Thank you, Lord, that you can have a revelation on that we all can come subject. If you just heed to the word, God's obligated to make it go through. He will.
Yeah.
He always will.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought about that. I just thank God to be back here one more time.
Right.
Amen.
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 Amen, Lord.
Amen, 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 amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Thank God for being here.
Amen.
I wasn't here Sunday. I've not even listened to the message. But what I hear is right along with what I was playing on my computer.
All right.
About Brother Branham. I've not heard him come across like Brother Branham. Now, he'll tear the hide off of you. He would. And Brother Earl did, too. And I went through all that. I was one of them that I had to sit down, figure it all, go home, try to tell my husband what was preached that day and all that stuff. And I finally just, when he wouldn't come to church, wouldn't come to church with me, he knew. I told him everything. It's what Brother Earl was preaching. And it was rough. And he would just smile. But you know, he never did tell me not do this, not do
that's
that.
That's right. It's a good
and
name.
I am so, wished he had of. I just wished he would have told me, Joyce, get you some clothes on. Uh-huh. Joyce, you know,
yes.
I wish I'd heard it. Right. I did not hear that. And I had to suffer. Right. So, brothers, tell your wife when she gets out. She'll love it.
Amen.
You're just,
amen.
That she's wanting to hear that.
Yeah.
She wants to be right.
That's
but
right.
She wants her husband
she's
to tell her the
job.
One he loves. She loves so much. And I'm so thankful.
Amen.
Brother Brandon, I really hadn't really sat down and listened to Brother Brandon's tape, but I did. And I'm still dying. I mean, I can see where God's working on me, some of the things, you know. And I know some of the brothers and sisters has seen God work on me. And I'm so thankful that I can say I am one of them.
Amen, amen.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
I just want to thank God and... the song was my testimony. I just want to raise up and praise the Lord
right.
for all that he has done for me.
Yes.
It's this revelation that is the most important
amen.
Thing in this world.
Yes.
And God, it excludes, I mean, it just pours out of our life. Just live. You don't have to do anything other than that. And the word takes care of it. And I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful.
Amen.
So even with that, I'm not going to change my mind or my testimony. So I'm very happy to be here tonight. Couldn't get here Sunday. When God told me to stay home, I stay home. I was crying at home, like, I can do it, I can do it. But that message on Sunday was an eye-opener. It's not that I haven't heard it before, but... I guess God knew already that it would be hard for me to handle that, so that's why I don't have a husband. But I couldn't understand. Sister Elise said it was hard. Brother Brennan's message was hard, and I had not listened to it, and you made me listen to it. And I was like, oh, man, now I don't know what she's talking about. But the thing is, like the brother Kevin just said, we're all subjected to
right.
leadership
yeah,
and headship.
Yeah.
And I'm glad I have this pastor, my brother, who I love dearly, to just run everything by. You know, whatever hat he's has on, I can get a true answer. But one thing that I want to share with you guys is, you know, people always ask that are outside of the body, what did God call you to do? What are you doing in the church? What is your brother having you do? You know, like, it's a particular task
right.
that they're looking
oh
for me to
God.
Do. And I'm like, it's not like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You believe the word.
That's it.
And you step out on it
right,
one
right.
step at a time.
That's right.
And you manifest it the best way you can. Right. And I don't know how to tell them except like that. And so just tonight,
you're
someone asked me, what have you signed up for? And I said... I signed up to say amen to this
amen.
Word
right.
and believe, be with this body. And I'm telling you, I shared with Jeremiah that when he said somebody stepped out and it's making a difference. And I claim that to be me
right.
because every day I step out a little bit more and
right.
a little bit more. And he's meeting me there, and I know that,
amen,
and I believe
Lord.
The word. I can't do it all in one day, but I tell you, that brother that preached on Wednesday night, the way he explained the way Jesus was on that cross, He's not asking us to do all that. He's just right, asking for something so small. To say amen to this word. And I can do that. And I just, I'm so happy to be here.
Amen.
Enjoy the testimonies. And you're so right. You're a blessing to the body. And people think it's got to be some signed up sheet. But we help each other when, without trying to sign up on a sheet. But I was just thinking, like you, I was rejoicing after Sunday's message because it was a balanced message. Of course it was. And just the truth on marriage and divorce. And doing a little reading this weekend and thinking, you know, I thank God for good instructions on natural marriage and divorce.
Right.
I believe in them. I believe we should all strive to follow them. I mean, I really do. I wouldn't say otherwise. It's how you can keep a marriage together. It's how you can have a good marriage. If you know your place, that is 100% the truth. But I was thinking about Sister Keene's testimony there, but I'm thankful that even if I might mess up, because I'm human and I'm doing to mess it up every once in a while, he's never messed it up.
Never.
Because that's the other side of marriage and divorce. There's the natural side, but it's bigger than that, too.
Christ.
It's Christ and his wife.
Yeah.
You know what? He never married me until he got rid of my first husband.
Right.
Now, I might, in the human side, fall into that.
Right.
And recognize that that's not salvation. I'm still going to heaven. But I might mess that up.
Yeah.
But he didn't mess it up.
He doesn't mess it up.
He looked for a wife that was going to take his word.
Virtuous.
And say amen to everyone.
Yes.
And never talk back, so to speak.
Right.
He got that.
Turn quickly.
He got a wife that won't fail, that will amen every word.
Amen.
And my wife, we might mess that up. We might have little spats.
Oh, yeah.
Thank God for grace.
Yeah.
But the bigger picture is he ain't messed it up one time.
Not one.
He didn't marry me until my first husband was dead.
Right.
He found a wife that listens to him. He's the husband and role he's supposed to be.
Amen.
He takes care of us like he's supposed
to.
Amen. We do our job, you know, as far as the bride, according to the word, like we're supposed to. The spiritual side of this thing is perfect.
Right.
Now, on the human side, I strive to listen to all of it. I believe in it. I ain't taking back that. I'm just saying, I know as humans, we'll mess it up. But thank God he hasn't. I like that side, too. Because as much as Brother Brandon was teaching us about natural marriage and divorce, and it applies, and it's good, he always, in all those messages, was talking about he was also looking at Christ and his bride. The natural types of spiritual, he'd say. And as we always say, the natural sometimes will stumble. It might mess up, but God.
Never.
You got to know when to get on time and get off and all
right?
that. But God is right every time.
Amen.
And I'm glad to be able to say that.
Yeah.
Because that's really the more important side of it.
Right.
Because if he didn't kill the first husband and me, I'm in trouble.
Right.
I had to have a nature change.
Amen.
That's what that means. That just means your new birth. Because you came here the wrong way.
Amen.
Your first husband wasn't the right husband.
Amen.
But what God did is he annihilated that husband.
Yeah.
And he came down and said, now I can marry you.
Yes.
And thank God he did. Because once he does that, what's the Bible say? You're free.
Right.
From the law of your first husband.
Right. Yes.
That first nature's completely done away
right.
with. He don't even hold it against you. It's not even in his mind.
Right.
Oh, I like being able to say that.
Amen.
Because on the human side, we forgive.
Yeah.
But we can't forget like God.
Right.
And we're taught to forgive. And we got to forgive to get through this life.
Right.
But he's so great. He'll wipe that thing off, Brother Moore.
Yeah.
And he forgets it to the point where he don't even remember it.
No.
Amen. Oh, that's perfection there.
Right.
That's the perfect way of doing it.
Right.
That's the real husband. That's the real marriage and divorce.
Amen.
We're living out type and shadow.
Right.
And there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
And Brother Moore was teaching some of that on Sunday. And it is so true, Brother Moore. You can get caught up in beauty in this world.
Sure.
And forget, really, Satan's really the one in beauty.
Absolutely.
That's what John got amazed at by the church was how beautiful she was.
Yeah.
But that's not where God necessarily is. He's in plain and simple. He's in the places where the world won't expect him to be.
Simplicity.
And look for him. He's God in simplicity.
Right.
But that's God. Amen. It's the greatest force and power on earth.
Right.
And thank God we understand that. Because that'll help you in the natural, understand the tricks of the devil.
Absolutely.
What can get you in trouble and keep you out of trouble.
Right.
Help you and tell you why you do the things you do.
Right.
But also, even in the spiritual sense, don't get caught up in the big churches.
No.
Fancy decorations. We've always said it around here, the two most nicest looking places is churches and funeral homes.
That's right.
And that's where, you know, one's got death in it. And really, the other one's got death in it.
Yeah.
What talking about. But they look like the nicest places in the world. But
right.
that's not necessarily where God is. He comes born in a manger.
Right.
And a barn.
Right.
He's somewhere where there's only 60 people fellowshipping.
Yeah.
James is going to go down to Little Bethlehem tomorrow in a church that's just part of a barn. But that's where God is.
Right.
Moving and talking.
Amen.
Thank God we see that. That he's not necessarily just caught up in a bunch of beauty.
Right.
But he's caught up in his word.
Amen.
Fulfilling his word exactly to a T.
Amen.
I thank God for seeing that.
Yes.
God bless you.
Amen.
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 Same page 208.
Yes.
The more that I surrender.
Oh. Light or load.
There is a secret to this. So win this war by surrendering.
Yes.
So testify real quick, and man, you know, it's the times where you just, your body feels tired, it's been a long day, but there's just something in you that just pushes through all that, you know, and I've got so many examples before me right now that's every one of you guys have given a push, even when you didn't feel like it. I thank God that this ain't something that you got to feel good to do. It's got to come from inside, inside of the inside. And, you know, what I love about this whole marriage and divorce is, you know, when Brother Branham preached it, he did come hard. And a lot of people probably walked out, you know.
Sure.
They couldn't handle it. But that scripture says, he that endured to the end. Mm-hmm. See, had they had just stayed and just bore it, just took it, take it on the chin. It's you he's talking to anyway. If they realized that he was talking to them personally, took the time out of, you know, sitting on the throne doing what he does to come down and reveal himself, and had they just stayed to the end, they would have said, they would have got that one thing that they were all looking for.
Right.
Go and sin no more. Just go and sin no more.
Yeah.
And, you know, this life, sometimes it can be so hard sometimes, but because we make it hard. You know, I know I've made things hard on myself, you know, and it's costed me. And Brother Moore, I'm so grateful that you're my pastor. Thank you for putting up with me and dealing with me. But it's that word. It's that word that does it all.
Right.
That word that just manifests. Amen. You know, you come in here and you amen that word, it's obligated to do what it does out of you.
Right.
You don't, most of the time we don't realize it until we're already through the situation. And, you know, sometimes when God moves and does something in your life, it's not always pretty. Sometimes it comes out, it's rough, and you're, like, bewildered over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I found myself there a few times, but, you know, I'm an overcomer.
Yeah.
I'm going to always overcome.
Amen.
Because, you know, I love this word. I really love him. I love God.
Right.
I love myself. I love what he's done with me.
Amen.
This life is not hard. It's really not.
No.
If we just apply what we hear... That's the biggest part of it.
Right.
Getting out of the way is the biggest part of it too. You know, and I'm just so blessed to be here. That's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
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 Yes, amen.
Amen.
More than I surrender.
Yes.
Lighter my load. The more that I surrender, the lighter my load.
The more that I release my cares, the more you take control.
Love you more. Let's sing that again, amen.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. I know that the more I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
Let's sing that one more time, amen.
The more that I surrender, the lighter my load. The more that I release my cares, the more you take control. I know the more that I can humble myself, the more you lift me up. Every day I live, Lord, I love. Oh, every day I live, Lord, I love. Every day I live, Lord, I love you more.
I want to sing one more song. Oh, I love you, Lord. Let's sing that.
Page, I think, 43.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Time, amen.
Jesus, thank you for this opportunity to get together. Yes. Lord, we're asking that you take the hearer and the speaker out of the way and move in such a way that you give us what we need, Lord. Lord, there's lots of prayer requests in the bodies. Lord, remember the Brinkmans. Remember Sister Kara's baby. Remember Sister Anna. Remember Brother Trevor. I'm still expecting to see him, Lord. Lord, bless this body and let us just come and hear what you want, Lord. Lord, help to get me out of the way to get the nerves and whatever's in the way, Lord. No distractions, Lord. Let the service be a blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to be here tonight. A couple of announcements. Brother Jeremiah said it. We got a. I'm going to be in Little Bethlehem tomorrow. And I give this glasses to my wife. Got your glasses in my pocket. There you go. You go to get into a fight with somebody, you got to take glasses off. Had those in my pocket. I didn't want to break them. No, but I'll be at Little Bethlehem tomorrow night. After service tonight, I know a couple people had mentioned that they want to go. So after service, let's get that coordinated on what we're going to do. We may carpool or we may just meet you there. So we'll get that situated after service. See me after service. We'll get that lined up. There's been some other announcements there. We got the brothers' breakfast, and then the sisters have a breakfast or dinner. That's coming up as well. We've got a fellowship on March 17th as well. So make sure you have that on your calendar. And then the more imminent one is February 12th. We're going to be at the Allen's house on a Sunday night, so I'm looking forward to that. So there's some announcements. Got that out of the way. I'm looking forward to what God's going to do. Right. Appreciated the testimonies and what people had to say. And, you know, Pastor Moore brought a perfectly balanced message. You know, it's marriage and divorce. I mean, that there's a couple of doctrines that throw people off, and that's one of the top three that messes people up, because it shows perfect grace if you look at it, and then it shows where you're out if you look at it. So it's the perfect balance where you need correction always, but it shows that even when you do mess up, you're taken care of. You know, even think of thought about, you know, Adam. Adam wasn't deceived by what Eve did. That was the first marriage. Adam wasn't deceived by what Eve did, and he willingly stepped out and took care of her. You know, and every now and again, you know, in this world, we've gotten so weak and so lax that, you know, it can be an argument over the bills and somebody will step out. It can be an argument over clothes and somebody will want to put somebody away. So, you know, even Jesus said it wasn't so from the beginning, but because the hardness of your heart, your inability to forgive, your inability to continue to love, your inability to let something go is what did that. So I appreciate that, you know, and as I get started in here, I thought, you know, there's so many things that people get hung up on all the time. Like, you know, at one point in time, there was just like simple stuff. Like, if you don't pray before you preach, you know, I mean, what are you looking for? Like, what are you here for? I mean, you know, you think about, you know, and I can only speak for the ministry in here. But I would imagine it would be the same for any brother that's going to be preparing to bring the word of God. I'm sure they're coming with fear and trembling. They've been praying all day. You know, you get up here and you get nervous. You might not say the prayer that you wanted to say. You might not read the scripture you might want to read. But if you get hung up on the prayer at the beginning, you've missed the whole rest of it. You know, so sometimes, you know, you get caught up on things that ain't even important. And I thought, man, I praise God that he gives us, you know, what's important. And I thought how even Pastor Moore brought the message Sunday, even showing us in the intro, he even showed us how we can look at different things that happen and apply it to ourselves. You know, you brought the example. You said, you know, Brother Childers would say, you know, I don't like lazy blacks. And I was walking around the church before service, and I saw, man, I've been here since 1990. And so I got to hear Brother Childers say, I don't like lazy blacks. So that's not a, you know, I'm here in third person. Now I heard him say it, you know, so. And I remember being a black, and you know, right? I can say that. He said, lazy blacks. And you go, my goodness, this guy. You know, but, you know, on one end of the spectrum, you know, you'd be foolish to call Brother Childers a racist. You'd be an idiot. You'd be an absolute idiot. And I'm going to use the words that Brother Childers used, not even my own interpretation of what he'd done for me, how he helped my life. But he said, I got a black wife, a black pastor, and a black song leader. I'm the blackest one you know. Right, like that, you know what I mean? Like in example form, right? He showed that he trusts the leadership. He loved a black woman, and he had a black song leader. Like in that representation, you've got to be able to balance it. You know, and Pastor Moore, you said it right. You said, you know, Brother Childers said, you know, I don't like lazy blacks. And until you realized that he wasn't talking to you, then it stopped. It would continue to bother you. There were people that he was talking to. There were people that were lazy, and that did apply. You could say, I don't like a lazy black. And if that person's lazy and black, that applies to that person, right? I don't want to get too much caught up on that, but I'm saying that if it doesn't apply to you, don't let it hurt your feelings, right? And even when we talk about going into this thing, I thought, my goodness, why didn't it apply to Pastor Moore? Because his nature was a hardworking man. He had a desire to please God, and he understood that give honor to those that have rule over you. He followed that type. That's what gave him the ability to say, that's not for me. I'm not lazy. I'm not one of the lazy blacks you're talking about. And so he was able to hear that statement, not get offended, and let it roll off his back like water on a duck. And I thought, you know, sometimes we hear things and you'll hear messages and you'll hear different things and you go, ooh, that's so hard. That's so hard. That's so hard. It's only hard if he's talking to you. Right? If the shoe fits, then you wear it and you step it up. But I don't want to get into the place where we go, well, the prophet's not talking to me. The prophet's not right. The prophet is right. The prophet was right when he said it. The prophet was 100% correct when he said it. But if it doesn't apply to you, don't let it hurt your feelings. Because he was talking about men and women. There's men that can get out. There's women that can get out. But he was using that type. And even me and my wife were looking at that. And I thought, you know, Brother Branham was even talking about that, criticizing the woman and said, you know, she can get lower than a dog. You know, but what he was showing was a type of the church. The church has the ability to be demonstrative, to be manipulative, to do anything lower than a dog. That's the type. He was talking about the church. Now, there's examples in women. There's examples in this time period of that. We've seen that, you know, all the way through. And I thought, my goodness, you know. So anyway, let me read a scripture. Galatians 5, chapter 13. And it says, for brethren, we have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for on occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, I think when we get in here, we get such a freedom, such a freedom to just worship God how we want to. We can praise God how we want to. We can do anything we want to. And every now and again, when you get corrected, it hurts your feelings because you're like, well, I thought I was free. I thought I had it. You are free. Amen. But the preaching is for the edifying and the perfecting of the saints. Right. So there needs to be some messages and word that comes across to help us to keep our minds pure. You know, I thought, my goodness, we need reminders a lot. You know, I'm going to read a quote here from Brother Branham over in Marriage and Divorce. And read this quote. This is Brother Branham talking about it going to the church. This is over in paragraph 122. And then we'll get started in here. I'm excited about being here. Says, let me stop here just for a moment. Pretty, did you know that the first destruction internationally of the world or worldwide was because of a pretty woman? When the sons of God saw the daughters of men were fair, they taken unto them women. Is that right? Said, have you noticed the increased beauty of a woman in this day? And this is Brother Branham's talking back in 65. He said, I've seen the picture of Pearl O'Brien, which was supposed to be the prettiest woman in the nation at one time. And he said, there isn't a teenage girl in this school but would outshadow her when it comes to beauty. He was showing the progress. You know, 1965, what was looked at as beauty is ugly now. It's just the progress. You know, there's less clothes, bigger everything. That's just how it works right now. The increase of the beauty of the woman showing the time of deception. When did the church see? There we go. Now he's showing what he's really talking about. When did the church look any more prettier than it does today? Everything is featuring great big fine buildings and millions of this and millions of that, don't you see? She's the deception. Now, there's nothing that's stoop like her, and she is designed so that she can be deceiving, and Satan is really working on her today. It's 1965. In these last days, because he is her designer, I can prove that now to go back to the beginning who started to work on her, Adam or Satan, God or Satan. See, that's her designer. That's Brother Branham typing it out. Showing that Satan was her designer. He's basically the architect of beauty. And so that's why we don't want you to be deceived by beauty. Right. Now, but what I love about this is what I see love about the balance, is that I can't be deceived. Right? I get taught not to be deceived, but there's something on the inside of me that can't be deceived. I can't be deceived. See, you know, Pastor Moore, you talked about how that brother said, he said, ABCs, the attitude, behavior, and clothes. Yeah, my ABCs are always believe Christ. I can't be deceived by your attitude. I can't be deceived by your behavior. I can't be deceived by your clothes. That's not how I judge whether or not you have a new birth or not. You can come in here in the shortest of short dresses or the tightest of tight pants. That doesn't let me know whether you got a new birth or not. That's not what I'm watching for. I watch for what you do with the word, and that is how I can judge things. That's how we judge everything. We look at that because we're the Eve that's predestinated not to fall. There was an Eve that was plumb to fall, and she couldn't do nothing but fall, but this bride is predestinated not to fall. That's over in Matthew 24 and 24. He said, this, if it were even possible, it would deceive the very elect. But it's not possible to deceive this elect. Our desire is to only please Christ in all that we do. If we think we're out, we want God to correct us. If we want to be, if we're short, we want God to step us up. Our desire is to please the Lord, whatever he would ask for. We find joy in giving God what he wants. We enjoy coming to church. I can be tired before I get here, but you get me around this anointing. You get me in this atmosphere. The cares of the world grow strangely dim. Bills fall away. Kid problems fall away. Job falls away. Why? Because the real me is excited. The real me wants to be here serving God. Amen. Oh, it's nothing that God could ask me that I wouldn't want to do. I love serving the Lord. I really, really love the Lord. You know, and even Pastor Moore, you even preached about it. I thought, this is funny. I'm looking at this water and I'm remembering being a kid. I was sitting probably where Johanna is, and me and my cousin AJ, we were sitting there, and the pastor grabbed a drink of water, and I was like, man, one day I hope I can get some of that water. As a kid, I was just sitting there. Yeah, that's the most expensive cup of water I've ever had. This is expensive water. It made me think about it. I was like, just made me think of AJ. But every now and then, yeah, it's just interesting. You be careful what you pray for. I used to remember Miss Courtney would pray for like a promotion. I'd get fired and get another job. I'm like, whoa, let's be deliberate in those prayers. Let's say, be very specific. Be sure. Be very sure. You know, but I'm just being real with y'all tonight. Because when I see what God is doing, when I see how he blesses us, when I see that he's bringing the word to us, it's just a reminder that whatever he's asking ain't too hard. It's just a reminder that whatever he wants you to do, you can do it. Just a reminder tonight to say, when God, he says his burdens are light and his yoke is easy. Oh, yeah, the message may come across this and may come across that, but that's power washing the dirt off. He ain't trying to get rid of the house. He got you lock, stock, and barrel. He said he's pleased to dwell there. Amen. It's just a reminder. You know, I thought, you know, we were at my mom, congratulations. She had her open house. Let's give her a round of applause. She had her open house. It was a beautiful thing. We were there, and Miss Courtney brought up the point that, you know, even during the years, she had done it for 5 or 6 years, and she said even during the years, periodically at the board meetings, they would need a reminder. They would have somebody come and remind them what the cause was, because you'd get so lost on, oh, we got to do this process, do that process, taking this long and that. Every now and again, somebody remind you, say, no, it's worth it. It's going to be worth it. It's worth it. There's going to be worth it. I thought, you know, that's what I did before church. I was walking around and I was looking at the brothers and sisters that are not here anymore. And I thought, it's a reminder that it's worth it. It's worth it. Whatever I got to carry, whatever I got to do, it's worth it. I got people that are depending on me. Oh, Sister Mel, you may have people asking this and asking that. Those are people that are depending on you. Those are people that are saying, I need you to make it. Why? We got loved ones that are depending on us. It says they without us cannot be made perfect. There is people that are depending on us. And every now and then, you just need a reminder that it is worth it. Amen. To carry this bloodstained banner, it is worth it. Heaven is cheap at any cost. Amen. It's cheap at any cost. There is nothing that God is asking you to do that's too hard. Oh, it's nothing that God is asking you to do that's too hard. I kind of chuckled to myself when Pastor Moore, you know, you were talking about the young people that walked away. And said, oh, it's so hard. I had to go to church twice. Oh, it's so hard they had to make me wear a dress. Oh, it's so hard that God kept you protected. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard that God kept you safe in this neurotic world when teenage pregnancies, neurotic things is going on. God kept you safe. He gave you friends. He gave you fellowship. He gave you a rest. I remember God taking a whole house and dedicated to the young people and say, if you need a safe place to go, just come here. Yeah. Oh, my, where do you forget those things? You forget the sacrifices God did for you. You forget the protection that God placed over you. And all you focus on are one or two things that you didn't want to do because you didn't want to eat your vegetables because you're immature. But thank God that we got somebody here, somebody at the time post to say, this is for your good. Yeah, that's just a reminder. It's just a reminder, saints, that we get the best of everything. We come in here and we got the perfect balance on what law is. We get the perfect balance on grace. We get the perfect interpretation on the scriptures. We get the perfect interpretation on living a life. We get the perfect interpretation on even having a testimony in your life. Amen. We get the perfect interpretation on everything. Amen. Why? Because the author's here. Recognize that the author is here. Yeah. Oh, there was a time period that if you wanted to see Jesus, you had to be in Nazareth. You had to be in Bethlehem. You had to be where he was at. But right now, there's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. There's Jesus. We get to see Jesus and fellowship with him all the time. Amen. Let's rejoice in that, saints. Amen. Praise God for it. Yeah. I praise God for good leadership. Yeah. It protects you. Yeah. It takes care of you. Yeah. It's watching out for pitfalls that you don't even can't even account for. Oh, my. Yeah. Now, we're all pulling on Pastor Moore, and now that he's retired, we're all pulling on him because of his knowledge, expertise as a consultant. Why is that? Because he's been protecting us this whole way through. He's been watching out this whole time. If he can do it again, I want him to do it again. If he can help me at something else, I want to help. Why not? Why? You'd be a fool not to lean on some leadership. You know, that sister that came here, she said, you'd be an idiot to sit in the presence of water and die of thirst. Die of thirst. You'd be a fool to come here and surround yourself with such a great cloud of witness and still walk out of here with doubt, still walk out of here with confusion. If you got a question, raise your hand. If you got a need, tell God. But don't come here not expecting to hear from him. I come every service expecting to hear from God, and that's my desire every time. I want whatever God wants to give me. I don't want to add anything onto that. I don't want to add to or take away one word what God's trying to provide for me. You know, and I look at that and I go, you know, because every time, sometimes we talk bold, and I thought, we have to. We have to talk bold. You know, just like Adam wasn't deceived when Satan did what he did. Jesus wasn't deceived when Satan approached him. Matter of fact, he said, it's not even lawful. It's not even lawful for you to tempt me. The word says, how much more? How much more should the bride be able to see Satan in all of his ways? There was a service where God said, I can send him over in the corner and say, don't even get up till I want to talk to you. That's what God told me I can do. That was what God told me I can do. That's a quote I like to apply. I'm not fooled by Satan in anything that I know him in every turn. I see him afar off.
Amen.
Where do you get that kind of peace? Where do you get that kind of understanding? Where do you get those words of eternal life? Right here. Right here. See, it's just a reminder, saints. See, because you know, and I'll say this personally: like, I don't have any vendetta or convictions against people that are churchgoers or do-gooders, or they're doing the best they know how to do. And if you're doing the best you know how to do, great, good for you. But don't be mad that I'm doing the best that I know how to do. You know, there was a phrase that we'd say, when you know better, you do better. Yeah, I just know better. Well, how do I know better? God has personally talked to me. People say, "Oh, I'm doing what God wants." I do. How do you know that's what God wants? You don't even know where God is. You haven't heard from God. You don't know where God is at in this day. You don't know where he was at yesterday. You don't know where God's moving. You don't know God's plan. But we're blessed to know God's plan. God has personally revealed his plan to us. You talked about that message, Pastor Moore. God's provided a place of worship on the mountain. Yeah. God was talking to Abraham directly.
Right.
There was no secrets. There was nothing hidden. There was no confusion. There was no mixed messages. It was clear what God wanted to do. Now, the people in Sodom and Gomorrah could assume what God wanted. They could hope that they knew what God wanted. They could write down. They could pray. They could do all manner of things. They married and did all these things without even knowing what God wanted to do. But there was a group of people that knew exactly what God wanted and communed with him face to face. And there was no confusion. Blessed is that group. Blessed is those people that could hear what God wanted to say and get the plan of God immediately right there. With no distraction, there was no need for interpretation when God was speaking the word to Abraham. I praise God we're not like they're in that same condition. This is God's provided place of worship. He is speaking to you lip to ear right now with no need for an interpreter.
Amen.
If God asks you to do something, just do it. If God wants something out of your life, just give it. I love how the scripture said, if God be God, then just serve him.
Amen.
Just serve him. Just step out on it. And it's not hard. I love how even Sister Mel said it, because the church world is confused by how you get this freedom. What you have to do to earn it? What you have to do to work for it? What you have to sign up for? Do you got to clean the church 3 times and then they let you in? Do you got to go 4 times and then they make you a member? Do you got to pay this money and tithes and then they let you sit to the front? How did you get so close to the pastor? How do you get the fellowship like that? That's because they're confused, because they don't know what God wants. It's always been works. They're still working their way up to some unknown ladder. But you can come in here and freely just worship God just how you are. Oh, my. I love that it's just a kaleidoscope of colors in here. I love that it's just even how we dress, how we look. You know, Pastor Moore, you even said it. You know, you can go into a church and everybody can dress the same. They can all have on flannel shirts and jeans, all the guys. And all the sisters have on the same plaid dress and the hair in a certain same way.
Right.
You couldn't tell one from the other. You wouldn't know who was married to who. You say, Sister so-and-so is where. They all look the same.
Right.
But in here, I want to see Elise in the colors. Sister Courtney in the colors. Sister Clarice in the colors. Pastor Moore in the shirt. Brother Jay in the shirt. I want to see some variety.
Yeah.
Why? That lets me know God's in it.
Amen.
That's God of a variety. Oh, my. My God is a God of variety.
Yes.
See, because there should be some certain traits about a believer that are just captured in his DNA.
Right.
Just certain things that just let you know that God's being in there. You know, there was this guy that was debating the scientists about the existence of God. And he said, you know, you can do different things to realize that they're intelligent somewhere. And he's like, so if you went to an island and you saw some words wrote out on the sand, you would have to recognize that somewhere, somebody there was some type of intelligence. Because the words didn't just appear. Somebody had to write them out. He said those words on the sand would give you a vindication that there's some type of intelligence. You may not be able to understand the words. You may not be able to put them together. You might not be able to decipher them. But if you see words in the sand written out there, that's a proof that there's some type of intelligence. He said that's how it works in DNA. That there's proof that there's intelligence. Now, man may not be able to fully type it out, code it out, and those, but there's proof that there's God, that there is a God by the intelligence that he writes in the DNA. He can recite, Kara knows you can recite, write a recessive gene and a dominant gene and this and that, and there's intelligence in there. But that's just a small example. But in our DNA as believers, there is proof there that God resides there. Because when the word comes across my path, I do just like every other believer does. I say, amen. Whether it hurts me, whether it skins me, whether it lifts me up, whether it puts me down, there is some intelligence on the inside of me that says that's nothing but the truth. Oh, my. Oh, the church world, they want to run it through a filter. They want to run it through this. They want to run it through that. I just want the pure, unadulterated word of God with no leaven.
Amen.
Give me what Jesus said. That's what I want. Don't give me your idea on what a Christian should look like. Don't give me your idea on what I should do. But tell me what Jesus said. That's what we want. And if it's hard, if it's straight, I don't care. I want what God wants. And then that's the thing. My goal is to live up to every word of it. Every word of it. And I believe I will. But if Satan tries to whisper in my ear that I fell short, guess what, Satan? I'm still going.
Amen.
I come from God, and I'm going back to God. I still believe the word. And if it is something I am falling short, I love how even Pastor Moore helps us to combat that. You be the loudest amen.
Amen.
Don't let Satan try to, because this is our sanctuary.
Right.
This is the part where we don't want any creeds, no dogmas, no doctrines, no ideas, no traditions.
Right.
Don't let Satan in the door.
Right.
So when he tries to creep in your mind that you didn't live up to this, that you didn't do that, but it's still the truth, Satan.
Yeah.
It's God's word is still right. And even if I fell short, God ain't never fell short.
Yeah.
Even if I don't make it to the mark, God makes it to the mark. And if whenever I do fall, guess what? He's still going to carry me through.
Amen.
That's what I have. I'm a believer. I'm one of his. He's obligated to take care of me.
Right.
Oh, my. See, his word have I hidden in my heart. That's what Psalms said.
Amen.
So that I might not sin against thee. I got the word of God on the inside of me that protects me, that holds me.
Amen.
There's something that holds me. There's something on the outside, there's something on the inside of me that holds me when I couldn't hold myself. There's a love for the truth that I can't control. Yeah, look at those pictures I saw, 1990 to 2023. That wasn't me. That wasn't me. I could look through the pictures and see time periods in life. I saw when my cousins lived with me. I saw graduation. I saw military. I saw wife. I saw kids. I saw jobs. I saw different clothes. I saw it all. I saw different people come and go. That wasn't me. That was God.
Amen.
It's not that I even can boast that I'm still here. On one side of it, yeah, I made a choice to follow him. But after I made that first decision, that old me died out. That new man is on the inside, and that's what's leading and guiding me. That's what's taking care of me. That's what keeps me when I can't keep myself. That's what enthuses me when I don't want to enthuse myself. That's what stirs me up. That's what gives me that spark. That's what keeps me going. It's the God on the inside of me. Because your life could be hard. You can make it hard. Yeah, you can get evicted, not pay bills, not have no lights on, not have a car, have to walk here. You can make it hard. Don't go to school, don't make no money, be broke. Name it. Make it hard.
Right.
That don't change the word of God. That don't change the word of God. And if he needs you to go by Samaria, guess what? You're going to go. If he needs you to go by somewhere, he'll figure out a way. Maybe you're not the doctor at the hospital. Maybe you're the patient then. But he's going to figure it out. That's his job. All that the Father hath given me will come. And see, the church world has it messed up. They've got the cart before the horse. They think they got to go get somebody. All that the Father has given me will come. They will come. I don't got to go get them. I'm not trying to go get the last lost soul. If there's one out there, he'll come in here just like I came in here. I wasn't looking for Fairborn. Fairborn found me. I wasn't looking for God. God found me. See, the church world's got it messed up. They think, oh, if I can get you to God, and then I can get you this, and then I can get you that, then you'll get the Holy Ghost. That's not how it works. If you are God's, he'll make sure you get everything else. Oh, he'll find you. The woman at the well wasn't looking for Jesus. She wasn't looking for Jesus. He found her. He said, I have needs to go by. God gets you. See, the church world, they take that and they misconstrue it. They go, well, we got to go out and get. No. God gets you. Not a person. He draws. Matter of fact, and see, the part is, see, they'll browbeat you the whole time trying to get you to convert. But what did that woman at the well do? Let's look at that example just for a second. What happened when she realized he was a prophet? It didn't take 4 services. It didn't take 3 times to go back. It didn't take 4 cups of water. It didn't say, come back at noon, let's talk about it a little bit more. Won't you come back tonight and let's study it? Won't you bring me a couple of books and let's read it? Won't you tell me the scriptures that you've done? Won't you tell me the prophecies that you fulfilled? I don't need to know anything. She said, sir, I perceive that thou art the prophet.
Yeah.
There was something on the inside of her that could recognize the God in him, and she ran away saying, sirs, come see a man that has told me all things. That's in that believer's DNA. That's what we yell out of here when we leave here, we're saying, sirs, come see a man that has told us all things. See, that's on the inside of us. Our love, our desire is for the word of God. You know, I thought, you know, Pastor Moore, you were talking, and I love how you brought that type about, you know, east or southeast. And I thought, you know, because Satan's so subtle. He's subtle in this hour. You know, it's New Year's and New Year's things that people are trying to do. And I thought, you know, I share with you guys a subtle trick Satan tried to pull on me. And I'm looking back at it, I can laugh at it. You get a little bigger, get overweight, think you're going to work out a little bit. Subtle. Start off going east. Just going to work out a little bit, lose a little weight. You start losing some weight. I know it's not an example for the women. They already got some examples. Brother Branham already got y'all. Pastor Moore got y'all. This is for the men. Start losing some weight. Now your old clothes don't fit. So you got to get some new clothes. Well, you've been doing arms all month. Might as well get some shorter sleeves. I mean, why not? Yeah, you got to show them off a little bit. I mean, you've worked that hard on them. Now you're going southeast. Yeah, you started off going east. It started off subtle. Now you go, well, I mean, hey, those arms is not, I mean, I've been working my chest too. So maybe I don't need 2 shirts on. Just 1 shirt and no undershirt. My mom can tell you. Come on, Mom. You know I'm telling the truth. I don't need 2 shirts. My wife will tell you. I don't need 2 shirts. It's just 1 shirt. Then now that shirt is 3 buttons down, not 2.
Right.
And you don't bundle all the way up. I mean, it's just got to be comfortable. It's got to be comfortable. Now you're not even going southeast. You're just going south. But you started off subtle. what a natural kind of inkling is to just to do a little bit better. And then you just draw in there and you start thinking more only about yourself. You start looking only after yourself. You start wondering how you look. You start looking in the mirror a little bit longer. Now to get ready for work, instead of 5 minutes, it's 15, 20. Now I don't want y'all to go to work without your hair combed and looking raggedy. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Stay with me on the type. I'm saying you start off with good intentions. But the Satan's subtlety just slides in there, and you just start thinking about yourself and start getting selfish. Then you start getting judgmental. Then now anybody else that doesn't go when you go, you they don't eat right. They don't work out long enough. I'm telling you from experience. You ain't never felt that, I know it. I'm telling you what happened to me. I'm back in my mail from where I'm at. I'm telling you what happens, and that's just a subtle example of how he sneaks in there. Now, it can happen on the female side as well. You can, my face has this, and I'm just going to put a little bit on there. Oh, okay, get it. I understand. Do you? You just want to take care of that pimple or whatever, and then it just starts a little bit more. Then this one, the green matches the outfit, so let me get this. Then I got those shoes, and then it just starts subtle. I'm just telling you how it just creeps in there. And it's not even that I want you to look bad. That's not the case. Y'all know me. I know I want you to look bad. I'm just telling you how subtle it comes in there. You want some checks and balances. What is your desire? What are you trying to do? What are you trying to prove? Who are you trying to please? Who are you doing this for? You just need some checks and balances. You need somebody to help you a little bit along the way. It's for the perfecting and the edifying of the saints. I don't care what the world does. I'm not watching what the world does. They're gone. I'm just trying to protect you and watch you through this life. Oh, my. How foolish would I be to let my daughter wear and do whatever she wanted to do? She's 16. She's dumb when it comes to that. She won't know what to do. She don't even know. She don't even know the pearls out. She don't even know the traps out there. She don't even know what's coming. She don't even see the wolves. She don't know. She might be innocent, so to speak, and thinking it's just for fun and games, but I'm trying to protect her. I'm looking out saying, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. Well, I'm just helping her along the way. Not that I don't want her to grow up. Not that I don't want her to be independent. Not that I don't want her to be free. I want her to be happy, but I'm just protecting her. Amen. That's a good father. Amen. Why do you think God's not watching over you, protecting you, being a good father? Oh, we want all the prosperity messages, but when God comes and just tries to help you, you go, oh, that's too hard. It ain't too hard. It ain't too hard. Oh, and I'll be the first one to tell you that. I get the socks rebuked off of me all the time. Oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do this. I need to do that. And I can go, oh, it's too hard. It ain't too hard. I like to say that as a reminder to Satan whenever he tries to say, oh, you're doing too much. You're doing this. I would like to remind him. I like to remind him. Sometimes this is a little tidbit for you guys. Sometimes somebody asks you how your day's doing, say it's outstanding. Right. They used to tell us to say that in the military. You'd have to call home and you'd have to say, because you'd be just tore up, wore down. And they said, when you talk to your parents, you tell them it's outstanding. You tell them the day's going great. And you tell them it's all good. Why? You need to start putting that in your head. Because when you're conveying that message, you know what you can get? Woe is me. Oh, it's so hard. And guess what? Misery going to love company is going to start dumping. It's hard for me too. We can't pay bills here. And it just starts. You get lower and lower. You just stand up and say, it's outstanding. Right. Let's say no. It's a great day. I'm above the ground. I'm praising God. I got a revelation. I got the word for the hour. I'm the last voice to the final age. I get preached to every Wednesday and Sunday. I got the opportunity to get all my questions answered. I have need of nothing. It's outstanding. Oh, my, it's just a reminder, saints, that your desire is pure. Your love is pure. You have a desire for the truth. Don't let anything take you off of that. Why? God has been too good to this group. He's been too good to this group. We've been taught the truth at every service. We don't hit and miss. We don't spot check this, spot that. I'm not coming here getting Doritos. I'm getting a full 7-course meal every service. See, the church world, they come out there and they go, well, hopefully that brother's preaching. Hopefully this brother's preaching. Hopefully this. I don't got to hope nothing. I come here with expectation. I don't care if Brother Don Deskins gets up. He better be serving me meat. And I expect to hear if Doug wanted to get up, if Brother Steve wanted to get up, he would bless me so much when he talked about the fertilization of the corn and all that. I was like, praise God that I have an ear to hear and there's somebody that can preach it. Why? Because I'm no respecter of person. I come here expecting to hear from God every single time. And guess what? He never disappoints. He brings it every single time. Oh, my, it's just a reminder, saints, that you are a believer.
Yeah.
You know, don't, don't lay aside. That scripture says, lay aside every weight that so easily besets you. Because you've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witness right now. Oh, my. Just open their eyes. I said, that's just what it is. Every now and again, like I said, I came here and just walked around. That's what sometimes you just need to do. Just open your eyes. Look how far he's brought you from. And you know what? If you're not in the last picture or the picture before that, just think about this week. Where he's brought you from, an understanding from Sunday to Wednesday. Praise God. See, because Satan will have you go, well, I'm not in the picture from 1990. So what? So you're here right now. Did you hear Sunday's message? Thank God. You're here now. You look at your understanding. Look at the progress. Look at the clearness. Look at the understanding that God's broken down to you. God took these messages and broke them down to you so that way you can pick it up. Amen. Praise God for it. Amen. That you have another opportunity to hear from him. Because you know what? He didn't have to do it. You know, he didn't have to do it. I thought, you know, there was a time period a while back, Pastor Moore, he might have been just frustrated with us. He said, I'm not obligated to fix your house. Probably some knucklehead young couples like me giving him problems. He said, I'm not obligated to fix your house. I'm obligated to preach the word. If I don't counsel you anytime through the week, that's not my job. That's not my job. But here we are, spoiled. Spoiled. Almost get our feelings hurt if he's not home on Tuesday. Almost get our feelings hurt if he don't answer the text message back. Almost get your feelings hurt if he don't stand there for 45 minutes after church and talk to you. Because you're spoiled. You're talking to me. I'm talking to me. The shoe fits, wear it. If you don't mind it, don't worry about it. But I'm telling you, the shoe fits for me. I almost take offense if he didn't answer my call. If it was Thursday and I called him, I'd like, well, what happened? What are you doing? Why weren't you waiting for me to call? I thought you were retired, right? I'm just telling you, you're so spoiled. You have such access to God that you don't even appreciate it sometimes. You got so much access to God that every prayer you could ever want gets answered. Everything you could ever need, God gives you. Every need, he supplies it. Oh, my. Saints, we're blessed. We're blessed beyond. God has just blessed us beyond. We get so many blessings on blessings on blessings. And that's why I'm looking at this. I'm saying, Lord, just give me a reminder to myself and to the people that God sees our desires. God sees what your desire is. That's what we're judging it by. That's what we're checking by. What's your desire? What's your motives on those things? And our desire is to be Christ-like, to do what God wants. We're truly Christians. That's what Christians are, to be Christ-like. The church world has perverted the term. They've made it this. They've made it that. They've marketed. They monetized it. They put bracelets out there. They've done all that stuff. They've made the church a den of thieves. But I want to be Christ-like. I want to do all that pleases the Father. I want to be with the word instant, in season and out. Whether I'm up or whether I'm down, I want to be able to say amen to the word. Whether I'm good or whether I'm bad, I want to be able to say amen to the word. And there's something on the inside, man, just lets me do it. I didn't study this up enough. I didn't read enough to be able to do that. I've just been preached to. And he said, well, how does he even do it? He said, he confines the wise by just the foolishness of preaching. That's why I even love that God even saying he's going to make the preaching simple. So when your preaching gets too hard, I'm going, no. It says it's supposed to be the foolishness of preaching. Don't make this too complex. Don't make this some algorithm I got to figure out. Don't make it some combination of books I got to read in order. But just give me the word and I can take it from here. Because see, the church world will have you thinking, well, I'm the only one that's got it. I've read the book, and on page 47, paragraph 53, if you would have read it, you would have had the revelation like I got it. That's not true. Preach the word, and I'll pick it up from there. You give me the word, and I'll take it from there. There is something on the inside of me that has nothing but amen. Yea and amen on every word. Whether you read the paragraph in order or out of order, I'll be able to discern it from there. I got the author. I can read between the lines. You can skip a paragraph, skip over one, go from one book to the last. If you want to start in Genesis and into Revelation, I'll figure it out from there. Just preach the word to me and I'll take it. Amen. That's a believer. That's a believer for you. That's what a believer would do. That's all we want is the word. Now, if you've got your ideas on what God might have wanted to be, then I might start getting critical. If you've got your ideas and assuming on what God might want for you, then I might get a little bit critical. Then I might start down because I'm like David. That ain't proven. I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know if that's going to be there. You might be just giving me your idea, but you give me the word of God and I want it. That's all we want. Amen. So God bless you. Pastor Moore.
God bless you, Pastor Moore. take that too. Mm. My goodness. And that's what believers believe. Amen. We do this because we can do no other.
Right.
We believe God's word.
Amen.
And we have love one toward another.
Amen.
You know, that's what Evie read. That scripture says, just love one another.
Amen.
You know, don't make it so hard.
Uh-huh.
We make it harder on each other. Because
uh-huh.
you don't do what I think you ought to do.
Right.
Then we want to cut you off. We want to cut the limb you're standing on.
Yeah.
And I'm standing on a limb myself. And while I'm sawing your limb, Jay, Jeremiah saw mine. And you get nowhere like that.
Amen.
Love one another.
Amen.
Realize that you're here because you want to be. This is the house of correction.
Amen.
We come here and we get corrected every service. You say, well, I have this wrong, I have that wrong. That's why you're here. And God reminds you who you are. And he never, the thing I love about God, he never leaves us down.
No.
You say, I go home down all the time. That's your fault.
Right.
Because if you listen to the, you know, like Paul Harvey, the rest of the story.
Yeah.
I don't care how hard it gets. Jesus always make a way out for you.
Right.
He always makes a way of escape. You say, well, I did this and I did that. And the preacher preached me under the bench. And I'm just like, well, get out from under the bench.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay under there. You know, I get sometimes I get calls and people want to whine. I don't have time for whiners. I'm sorry. You think I'm going to listen to you? I cut the conversation quick.
Amen.
I'm like, you look, you. I will hang this phone up because you don't understand. I don't have to do this.
Right.
And if I hear you whining, I'll shoot across your bow.
Right.
Amen.
I did it this week. I had somebody call me. I shot across that bow. I said, hold up.
Right.
Hold up. If you're going to talk like that, I'll hang this phone up. Because I don't have to do it.
Amen.
And the thing is, when God comes and he corrects us, don't get mad at it. Because God doesn't have to do it. It's his love that makes him correct us. People forget this is a house of correction. They think this is a party house. This ain't a party house. This is where you come to get your tie straightened. This is where we come and look into the mirror and see what I need straightened up about myself. What I can do better. How can I be a better example? How can I do better for my brother and my sister? How can I serve God better? That's what this is about. It's not about giving you a green light and a pass to go out here like a Visa card. That you don't have to pay. That's what some people do. They get a Visa card like that. Well, you know, I ain't going to worry about it. Brother Moore's going to pay the bill. No, he's not. Jesus paid it all, but he paid it all for his bride.
Yeah.
But then you said, well, I'm just going to go and I don't care. Then you know what? You don't have God's card. You might find out Satan's the owner of that card. And there still be a bill due with that one. But we come here because we love God. It always just frustrates me when people think you don't love God. They don't know me.
No.
I've been doing this for 40-something years.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because somebody's held a gun to my head and made me do it. I do this because I want to do it. I serve God because I want to serve God. You say, well, you don't serve God good enough. Well, I don't serve God good enough for you. But you know what? Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. And I'm going. You say, well, you're going, but you're a mess. You're going and you're a mess. That's why we need Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So don't be so hard on each other. Love one another.
Amen.
Give each other the benefit of the doubt. You're here because you want to serve God. You're here because you want to be right. And you say, well, I can't do everything. God didn't ask you to do everything. He just asked you to do what he tells you to do. I don't tell you to run the whole church. I just tell you do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Do your part.
Amen.
And God doesn't expect you to do everything. God just wants you to do your part. But one part you do have is to love one another. Stand in the gap. If they don't look like you want them to look, pray for them.
Right.
If they don't act like the way you want them to act, pray for them.
Okay.
If you want them to move up a little higher, pray for them.
Right.
Don't go and tell your other brother or sister, well, this one's got this. No, you pray for them. Since you're so holy,
yeah.
And since you're so perfect, And since you don't need to have the God to pray and do anything for you, pray for somebody else. That's what I always tell the spiritual ones when they're telling me they're so holy and, you know, oh, there's so many problems and the people are this. And I say, well, pray for them. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray right now. Let's pray for them. Pray for the saints. God wants you to love each other. God will correct here because that's his job. And you love correction. That's why you come. If you didn't want correction, you'd go to a Catholic church where all they're going to do is wave some smoke around you and send you home. But you come here where Brother Branham talks on marriage and divorce. Well, we tell you, you got to buck up. When we tell you, you got to stand on your own 2 feet. When we tell you, you got to be a son of God. And if you want to be part of this, then there should be a manifestation in your life.
That's right.
And if there's no manifestation, I question your salvation.
Amen.
There should be a change. And it won't be a change because I'm barking down your neck, making you change. You'll do it because you know what? In the age that we're living in, we don't have babies here.
No.
I ain't carrying you. You're going to walk or you're not going.
Amen.
You know how you do when your kids get so heavy you can't carry them? And you got your arms full of groceries? And they want to try to put a tantrum out there and say, Daddy, carry me, Mama, carry you. You're like, come on. You're going to walk. The hour we're living in now, I don't have a church full of hothouse plants. I got some rugged believers. People that are standing on 2 feet. People you can preach to and they'll say amen to the word when it's just killing them. That's the hour we're living in. It's an hour that we're about ready to go home. And God ain't going to have a bunch of weak Christians barely hanging in there, climbing up the rough side of the mountain. You know, we should be enjoying life.
Amen.
You shouldn't be mad about everything. You shouldn't be upset about everybody. You shouldn't be all upset about the government, about the church folks. You should be so in love with God that it doesn't matter what the rain looks like, you got an umbrella.
Amen.
I don't care if it's raining if I got an umbrella. It doesn't matter what this world's going through if I got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the church world's doing if I got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It doesn't even matter what you're doing if I got Jesus Christ. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love you. I'm going to correct you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And if you don't come back, I'll pray for you and hope that you get your life straightened out. And if it doesn't happen here, I'll pray it happens there.
Amen.
But the hour we're living in now, and if you're expecting us to baby you around, no, it ain't going to happen. You try calling me. I'll leave you crying in your tears, just soaking. And I'll cry with you. You say, oh, Pastor. I'm like, oh, no. But I'm going to tell you the truth. Whether you like it or not, that's our love for one another. And some people say, well, oh, marriage and divorce is so hard. No, it's not. It's just God's showing us how far out we have been. But at the end of it all, God turns right around and says, I love you. You can go. Go as you are. And after every service we have here, I don't care how rough it is when we preach it, by the end of the service, God says, I love you. And you can go. And if God can do that for us, we ought to do that for one another. You say you get mad at your brother, so what? You get mad at your sister, so what? I don't care. Get over it. This too shall pass. Give you 10 minutes and you're hugging on each other.
Amen.
And what if I spent my time trying to correct that? And in 5 minutes, that's why policemen don't get in the middle of a family dispute. A domestic violence, they don't try to get in the middle of that. Because they go in there and start whipping up on the husband. Next thing you know, they got the wife on their back with a skillet banging them. I'm like, I'm trying to help you. Or they go in there and pull the woman off and then the man jumps him. You can't win. And that's the same thing as with you brothers and sisters. I don't try to get in between y'all and y'all little spats. I can't win. Because next you know, I'm getting on one of them and the other's like, but that's my friend. That's my brother. What are you doing? You can't win. All I can do is put the word of God out there, across the board, the same to everybody. Peanut butter goes on everybody's bread. It corrects us all. You put the word out there and you say, well, what did he tell you? Get with the word. What did he tell you? Get with the word. Amen. Then I don't have to make it up. I don't have to try to protect somebody or hold up somebody's side. I don't have a side. It's like, all I got is a word. You call me up, all I got is the word. You talk to me after church, all I got is the word. When I go to preach, all I got is the word. When everybody walks out of here, all they can say, well, he preached the word. I give the same thing to everybody. Nobody gets any better seats than others. Nobody gets any pat on the back. Nobody gets any rub downs. I don't pup down no favorites. You ask John, I rebuke him like I'll rebuke anybody else, and he's my good friend. I've got him many a days. Because I got to tell you the truth no matter what. That's my love for you. And your love for God is that you have to receive the truth. And that's what believers do. Amen. And life's not fair. No, it's not. God never promised you that you were going to have it easy. Matter of fact, when you take his way, it's the harder way. You're going to be talked about, spit on, laughed at, made fun of, everything else. You know what? That doesn't change the fact of who you are. You stand up and you hold your head up and you be a son of God. And don't let the devil get you down. Let the devil know you don't have nothing on me. They tried to tell Jesus, oh, we're going to kill you. Jesus said, kill me. You can't kill me. I'm going to freely lay this down. Devil, you can't do nothing to me unless God allows it. And if God allows something to happen to me, it's for somebody else. It's for my good. He said, well, that ain't fair. God should protect you. God should. If this world were my home, God would send down his angels and they would protect me. But this ain't our home. Just love one another. Hang in there with one another. Protect one another. Stand up for one another. Do the right thing, and God will do the rest.
Amen. That's right.
I like that. How do you know you are my disciples? You have love one to another. Come on, musicians. Enjoy that, Brother Jay.
Amen.
Now, remember Brother Chris Loudon in your prayers. His father passed away, and he's going to have a funeral for him, but the funeral's going to be down in Tennessee, and it's going to be Saturday down in Tennessee. So remember them as they make plans and travel and do all the things that they have to do. Keep them in your prayers. And come back Sunday. Lord bless. You know what? I was praying for this day. I don't know if y'all were, but they said last night it was going to snow. We were going to get a bunch of snow. Then it was going to turn to rain. Then it was going to freeze. And I said last night, Lord, send it north. Send it somewhere else. We need to church. We need to get here. And I woke up this morning and looked out and I thought, okay, not so bad. We didn't get 3 to 6 inches. And I said, thank you, Lord. And then it got 30-something degrees, 34 or something. And they cleaned all the roads off. Everything got ready just for services tonight. So, you know, I thought about it. I said, you know, Brother Branham, I said to last night, I said, God, you move the weather for Brother Branham. So if you can move the weather for Brother Branham, you can move it for me. And here we are. So thank God that we were here tonight. Amen. So God bless you. Congratulations, Sister Michelle. She's on the news. She's out there. Yesterday was Monday was a good open house.
Yes, it was.
And it was so good, I ain't talked to her since then. But they got it. They got it up and running. So, Michelle, God bless you. 11 years.
Amen.
And I'm proud of her. She got it out there and state recognized.
Amen.
So I appreciate all the efforts that she put forth. Amen. And all that hard work, it's paid off. So just keep her in your prayers, because now I told her Monday, I said, all right, the open house is done. Now it's time to work. So God bless them. So, amen. Come back on Sunday expecting.
Amen.
Remember Brother Chris as they travel and their family, and love one another. That's all we can do.
Amen.
That's all we can do is love one another. Amen. You sure can.
I love this word. I love what we get here. I love that Brother Moore preaches a message about being your brother's keeper. You've talked to me for many years, 30 years plus, and I love what I get here. You all remember my daughters in prayer. I thank God because, you know, Lord, just what was said here tonight feeds my soul.
Amen.
It gives me encouragement. Yes. It helps me along the way. And I thank God because I have value added here. God bless.
Amen. 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 I get something every time I come.
Every time.
Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He.
Amen.
Every time we talk about Him, I get more out of it. Amen. Amen. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. He's the great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Oh, let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. He's the great I Am, the way, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Jesus.
The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The door. Let's talk about Jesus.